Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day so far. I have had a full day in the kitchen of preserving. You probably shouldn't hear because I do have a little fancy microphone, but you might hear pasta sauce boiling in the background. I am boiling down pasta sauce. I already did one round of canning today, and I'm hoping to get at least this one canned. I'm hoping to do another 5 jars, pint jars, but we'll see. I have them ready to boil down. It's just a slow process of boiling it down. But that's not at all what today's video is about. Today's video is about why do you feel drudgery when it comes to homemaking? Why would one feel drudgery? And I've actually had a lot of comments and messages about this topic on feeling guilty about having drudgery or feeling like homemaking is getting monotonous. And so it's something that I've been praying about and pondering on why would one feel that way? And I think everyone's circumstances are very unique. And so not everything that I talk about in this video will apply to everyone, but I do want to give possible options if you do feel like homemaking is monotonous or a drudgery, then maybe one of these will resonate with you, and then hopefully it will give you clarity on how to overcome that feeling of drudgery or feeling like you don't enjoy it. Because being a homemaker is a blessing. It says in Titus 2 that the older women are to teach the younger women. I'm going to read the Titus 2 verse that they, the older women, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so all of these things are good. It is God's guidance, God's word. If we are praying and asking God to give us a word on our purpose, then open up the Bible and He will give you a word and a direction. But I want to start this video how I usually start all of my homemaking videos and say that homemaking is going to be very unique to each wife. And it's easy to get online and compare yourself to other homemakers, but your lifestyle as a homemaker and a helpmeet is going to be very unique to you and your context, your husband's mission. So everything that I share in this video, it can be directed to your context. It doesn't have to look like anyone else's context. And I pray that that's encouraging to you. I get comments often saying that a woman being a homemaker is her being put into a box, but it's actually the opposite of that. There's an abundance of opportunities, and that is the blessing of being a homemaker and a helpmeet, is that we have an abundance of opportunities at our fingertips. And I do want to start off by sharing with you my drink. So this is our rooibos that we sell in our shop. Scott's from South Africa, and this is our favorite rooibos tea. All rooibos comes from South Africa, but all the quality is not the same. And this is organic loose leaf rooibos, and I did 2 tablespoons per 1 8-ounce cup of hot water, boiled it. I let it steep for about 5 minutes actually, and then I poured it into my cup, and then I did dilute it with just a little bit more water just to help it cool down faster, because yesterday I froze apple juice that I got from Azure in my ice cube tray. And in South Africa, that's often how they serve rooibos at restaurants, iced rooibos tea with apple juice. And it is so good. And so I thought it would be really tasty to do the iced rooibos, and instead of putting ice in it, which ends up watering it down, doing apple juice ice. And it is so delicious. The rooibos is in my shop. This is the red rooibos. If you are looking to order journals, I am doing a journal launch in August of all types of new journals. So if you're wanting journals, I would wait to order your rooibos when I put up the journals. And then we also have a bunch of items that we bought from when we were in South Africa that I've been meaning to put in my shop and I just haven't gotten around to it. So those will be all up in the shop as well, and that will be in August. I'm gonna give 7 points in this video, but if you get through the whole thing and you think none of those applies to me and you still feel like homemaking is a drudgery, I just want to start with sometimes life is just hard and disappointment comes in and sadness comes in or frustration. And I think some of my points will talk about those things. But I think in those moments, the most important thing you could possibly do if you feel like homemaking is a drudgery because life is just hard, circumstances that are beyond your control, it is believing Matthew 6:6 that God sees me in secret and he will reward me openly. And standing on that word, we must believe that God is with us and sees us in secret, and that he has not abandoned us, he has not left us, and that he sees us and that he loves us. If you don't think that God sees you, then much of life will feel absolutely meaningless, whether you're a homemaker or you're out working a job or you're a mom or you aspire to be a mom or you're a wife or you aspire to be a wife. If you don't have Jesus as your king and savior and the person that you go to, that he is the one who is your fulfillment, then much of life is going to be disappointing. And you see that from the world, people who are constantly chasing fulfillment and satisfaction, but they are never going to get it from the world because fulfillment only comes from Jesus and our identity being in sons and daughters of the king. So why does homemaking feel like a drudgery? Number one, maybe you've lost the vision for homemaking, which would be your why. Why are you a homemaker to begin with? I think when we end up going through the everyday mundane tasks and you end up forgetting the why in the first place, and I think that's often why a lot of times there will be a lot of women who they had worked outside of the home at a job all the way up until they had their baby, and then they come home and now they are learning to be a mom, they're learning to be a homemaker, and they're also trying to juggle all of these new things all at once, and then they feel extremely unqualified to do any of those things, and they end up longing for their job because they at least felt competent at their job, and they don't feel competent being a homemaker, or they don't know the worth or value of their role in the home because they never took the time to learn the skills of being a homemaker before bringing children into the world. If you go straight from working a job to then being home with a baby and then having the expectations or pressure that you automatically feel, this pressure of, I'm not doing a very good job, I'm trying to figure out how to take care of my baby and laundry's piling up and I don't know how to make meals and all of this stuff. But I think it's because being a homemaker, it takes skill. There's a lot of skills involved in learning systems to run a home. A homemaker is a home economist. You are managing your home, and that is the vision that sometimes gets lost in the monotony of everyday homemaking, is the big picture of why you are a homemaker. And I think that's why I love so much the concept of a homemaker is a wife who builds her home economy. I think having a vision for the home as an economy gives you great purpose and meaning to the work that you're doing at home, that it's not just everyday drudgery, but it is valuable work and you're adding value to your home. And even then, the monotonous things can become almost a game to win. So instead of laundry just being laundry, it's okay, how do I win the home economy game of laundry? So maybe that is learning how to make your own laundry soap or hanging stuff out on the line so that way you're not spending extra money on the dryer, or buying wool dryer balls. If you want to use your dryer, the wool dryer balls will help your clothes dry faster. So what are ways that you can create systems in your home that are economical and a blessing to your family? So you're not just home doing boring mundane tasks and you think, well, I could be out making money, or I could be out working a job doing, in quotes, real valuable work, but instead realizing the work that you're doing in your home is incredibly valuable. There is great value in the work that wives do in the home, and it is a work. I think so often, unfortunately, there's this straw man of when you quit your job to come home, you're no longer working, you're no longer adding to society. There's all these lies around that. I mean, I even had someone recently comment that because I don't have children, I need to go get a job. And I was like, how shameful that you think that the only way to work is to go work for someone else. It's laughable, actually. It's such a lie from the enemy and from feminism and from liberalism that the only valuable work is working outside of the home for someone else to get paid for it. It's so deceitful, and it's so easy to fall into that belief system if that is how you have been raised, or if you've gone through the university system, or if in your adult life you found most of your identity from your success or your accomplishments or how much money you make, then it is really hard to transition into the value of your role as a homemaker and it not being about how much money you make and it not being about success according to the world. And the world's never going to encourage or celebrate the wife in the home. The world and popular culture actually hates women being in her feminine role. And so it has been really helpful for me understanding the home as an economy. And it's also been really helpful for me to understand my role as helpmeet, that there is a vision for being a helpmeet, and that is going to be unique to us. That is going to be unique to my husband, the things that I'm doing to help him. So if you feel like you're lacking in the vision, maybe ask your husband, what are some of the goals that we have? What are some of the things that we're trying to do? The dreams, wishes, desires, because when you have a vision, then you have something to work towards. Then the everyday mundane doesn't have to feel mundane because you're working towards a vision. I have a quote from a doctor from 1914, and this is so good. He said, "Work is doing what you don't now enjoy for the sake of a future which you can clearly see and desire. Drudgery is doing under strain what you don't now enjoy and for no end that you can appreciate." So work is doing what you don't now enjoy for the sake of a future which you clearly see and desire, which is a vision. So it's doing work for a vision. There's a purpose. So you do the hard work. I think of gardening. All of the spring is lots of hard work, but the reason you're doing all the hard work in the fall and the spring is because you have a vision for what that hard work will reap, the fruit of that hard work, when summertime comes. I think that's a lot of homemaking, and a lot of times with homemaking stuff, it is an eternal work. So especially raising children, you're not going to see the fruit of that for years. So a lot of the work that you're doing is by faith, whereas drudgery is doing under strain what you don't now enjoy and for no end that you can appreciate. So if you don't have an end vision for why you're doing something, then of course you're going to feel drudgery because it's going to feel like, what's the point? Why am I doing this? And it's going to be a doom loop spiral every day unless you can get out of that mindset. There's a song by, it's unfortunate, there's a lot of songs that, worship songs that I used to really love, and the artists have turned very liberals, but in the past their stuff has really blessed me, and Christine DeMarco has a song, "I Am No Victim, I Live to a Vision," and when Scott and I first got married, we loved that song. We played it on repeat because it was a declaration for us. I am no victim, I live to a vision. That is a declaration that you can say over yourself of, I am not a victim, but I live to a vision. And I think that's the blessing of having vision boards, creating a Pinterest of things that you are going for. You have to have a vision because that will then give you excitement and motivation to do the things that you like and even the boring everyday drudgery things. Alina Pettit, she has a YouTube channel called The Darling Academy. I think she's taken a lot of the videos off, unfortunately, but she's an English girl, and she had a video once where she said that she does all of her drudgery work first thing in the morning, and then the rest of the day she can do the stuff that she really enjoys. And I've never forgotten that. It blessed me so much because that has helped me with doing the mundane tasks early on in the day, so then I have time for things that I enjoy, which will be a point later on. So on to my second point. Maybe you feel like homemaking is a drudgery because you have not prioritized your time with God. You've ended up just going through the motions, and you have this idea of, like, I know God's with me, praise God. You might even have worship music playing, but have you sought the Lord yourself? Have you sat down with your journal and just wrote a prayer to God, talked to God, actually paused and listened to the Lord and asked God to speak to you, opening your Bible, meditating on the word, not just opening it, reading the next daily devotional verse that you're supposed to read, but actually opening the word and sitting and meditating upon the word. That's what Selah in Psalms is, to take a pause, let it soak in, get into the word and see what the Holy Spirit highlights to you. Pray through the Bible, maybe start a new Bible. You can buy very cheap $3 Bibles and maybe start a new one. And I've done this before, and I have different highlighters. Everything I highlight in yellow is going to be about this topic. Everything I highlight in green is going to be about this topic. And then it helps you to read your Bible in a different way, because you're looking for whatever your highlighter things mean for those topics to stand out to you. And sometimes just even getting a new Bible and writing in it and just diving into it, consuming the word, maybe playing the audio Bible more instead of listening to YouTube or podcasts. Play the Bible, get the word of God into you. That is the most important thing. If you are not prioritizing spending time with the Lord, then I would get off all other forms of media and start back at the very beginning, at the word. And even if you don't feel like it, again, it's by faith. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So even if you're like, well, nothing's standing out to me, it's meaningless. By faith, God's word is alive and active today, and he will speak to us. So just get into the word. If you don't do that, then homemaking will absolutely feel like a drudgery, because you're doing it all out of your own strength instead of doing it with the help of the Holy Spirit and knowing that God's presence is with you. He's with us. We can be talking to him throughout the day, through everything that we're doing. And praise God, play worship music, sing to worship music. That's a blessing too. And so then that leads me to my next topic, which is number 3. Maybe you've been on social media too much. I definitely think there can be a lot of positives from social media. It's a great way to connect with people if you use it in the right way. We have friends in real life that we would have never met had it not been for social media. My friend Margot, that I did the video with on learning to wear dresses and learning to slow down. The reason we're friends is because our husbands met over Twitter and they became friends. And then because they became such good friends, we all met up and Margot and I became good friends. I know that there's a lot of negatives about social media, but God can certainly use social media today as well. But there is absolutely a huge possibility that you are consuming way too much social media and it's causing you to fall into all kinds of problems. Maybe you feel discouraged or defeated because you're looking at other people's highlights on social media and you're thinking, well, that must be nice. And then you're comparing your normal day-to-day life with someone else's highlighted best moments, and then you feel discouraged or sad about your circumstances, or it just makes you, again, fall into this doom loop spiral of discouragement and disappointment because you're so busy looking at other people's life instead of thinking, what's the vision that God has for us? How can I be using my time to live to the vision that we have, to build towards the vision that we want to go? Because again, that will be unique to you. We can't compare ourselves to other people online because we don't know the history that they come from. We don't know anyone's full story, just looking from the outside in. So we really can't compare ourselves to other people. And I think that is a huge danger with social media. It's fine to look at social media for inspiration or even for ideas, for things that make you want to get off social media. That's the people I follow. I follow people who make me want to get off of my phone. I don't follow anyone who is like, oh, if you only spent more time posting on social media, then you could get a bigger following and you could make money. I don't want to follow those type of people because I don't want to spend more time on social media. I want to spend less time on social media. And that's my personal preference. I don't want to build a life around social media. I want to build a life off of social media. And that's why even with YouTube, I've said many times, this is not a job. This is a hobby and this is fun. And the moment that it doesn't become fun, I don't make videos because I never want YouTube to control me. I want YouTube and what I share on here to be an overflow of my life lived, not living life for YouTube. And then I think a practical downfall with social media is if it is ruining your attention span, then maybe it is time to take a break from social media. I took a year off of Instagram and Facebook, and it was wonderful. It was such a blessing, and I actually feel that it has broken this temptation to get on my phone and just open up the app. That's where I was. At the end of 2022, I just always, if I grabbed my phone, Instagram was open without even thinking about it. It just opened up. And I was like, I mindlessly just opened this app. What am I doing? And I couldn't even do hobbies without just grabbing my phone and opening up Instagram. I would be crocheting something, and then next thing I know, I grab my phone. I couldn't watch long form content because my attention span was so shortened from watching reels. And all of that really bothered me. And then I just deleted it one day, spontaneously, just deleted the whole thing. And then I had no intention of being off of it for a while. I just wanted a short break, so I thought I would delete it. And then a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, 3 weeks goes by, and I actually was really enjoying not having Instagram. I liked not even having the option there to open it. It was wonderful. Facebook wasn't as much of a temptation, but I knew that if I didn't delete Facebook, then it would be the new Instagram. Instead of opening Instagram, I would just open up Facebook. And so that's why I went ahead and deleted both. That way they wouldn't be tempting. And YouTube has never been a problem for me because it'll be something usually playing in the background. Whereas if you're on Instagram, then you're scrolling Instagram. You cannot multitask and be on Instagram. Instagram is all consuming. And so taking a year off was really helpful for me because it broke one, this focus problem that I had. I immediately noticed after 3 weeks that my attention span was back. I was no longer struggling to focus on what was in front of me. I could do projects for a long period of time and not lose focus or feel the need to distract myself with something else. At the end of, I think it was last December, this past December, at the 1 year mark, I got back on Instagram, and it was like this habit was broken to where I have Instagram on my phone and there are days that I don't even open it because I just don't care. I'm not attached to it. I think it was helpful that before I got off, I was growing my account. And now if I share something, hardly anyone sees it. And so I'm like, okay, there's no point of sharing on this app. Only if it's, again, fun, then I'll share on it. But I'm not trying to grow something or anything. So it's just nice to not even be on it. So maybe that's something that you need to do. If you feel that it is making you not enjoy your homemaking life, then maybe it's time to just take a break off of it and trust that God will vindicate you for your time off of it. So then that leads me to my next point, number four, and that is if you're feeling like homemaking is a drudgery, that could be from the root of discontentment. And often discontentment comes from a lack of gratefulness for what you already have. So instead of focusing all of your attention on what you don't have, what you wish you had, what you want, instead flipping it around, again, it's the mental side of things of, what do I have? What are all the things that I have to be grateful for? And this sounds so simple, but it is so true. I've said in another video, but every night before bed since February, we always say, one of us always asks the other, what are you grateful for today? And then we have to ponder and think. Sometimes it's really quick because we have a lot of things to be grateful for. And other times, there are times where I'm just having a bad day and I'm like, I am so thankful for this bed so I can wake up and have a new fresh start tomorrow. I'm thankful for our chickens. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the bed. I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful for the Bible, and good night. We'll have a fresh morning tomorrow. But even just that, even going to bed with just mundanely saying the things you're grateful for is so much better than being grumpy and discontent and focusing on all the things that you don't have. Switching that mindset to gratefulness really does. Going to bed like that truly does set your next day up for a fresh new start. So finding gratefulness in the littlest everyday things, and that may mean staying away from things or even people that make you feel discontent. The next point of maybe you feel like homemaking is a drudgery because you are struggling with loneliness. Sometimes I wonder if loneliness or feeling lonely is the result of the first one, actually, of not having a vision to work towards. And because you're not working towards a vision, you are idle, and being idle can lead to having self-pity and then feeling lonely in your self-pity. And so sometimes when the topic of loneliness comes up, I wonder, is it actually loneliness or is it idleness that's leading to self-pity? And therefore you feel lonely because you feel sorry for yourself. But if you did work, whether that's a hobby or working, and I'm not saying work outside of the home, I'm saying, because I think that's often what you think is, maybe I need to go get a job to fill this loneliness in me because I need to be around people. But then think, do you actually think that will solve the feeling that you have inside of you? And often I don't think it does. I think it's just, you think that because you think it's just loneliness is the issue, you think going and getting a job outside of the home will resolve everything. But then if you did have a job before you quit, it's easy to look at that with rose-colored glasses and think, well, if I had a job, I could be in community again. One, are the people at your job the people you want to be in community with? Most of the time it's not. The only reason you're in community with them is because you are working with them. They aren't people that you would actually ever choose to be friends with. A lot of time working a job, being around those people actually creates more drama and more outrage and more things that you bring home and complain to your husband about because you're annoyed with things. So going and working outside of the home can often just be a distraction to the real root of the problem, which is number one, not having a vision for why you're at home and not knowing how to create work within the home, to build within the home, to do the Proverbs 31 thing of working with your hands. And again, that will be unique to you. And I could give so many examples, but I'm not going to because I don't want to ruin your creativity. I think this is a great time. I don't want to say too much about this on this topic because it kind of ties into the next topic, but what are the things that you could be doing now? And maybe it's doing work at home that will make you not feel lonely, doing meaningful work, finding things that are meaningful for you. Now, if you're doing all of that already, you feel great purpose in the work that you're doing at home, you have a vision, and you still feel lonely, then first thing I would do is examine your life and think, are there people in my life who want to be friends with me or who could be friends with me? Are there people at my church that I could ask to hang out with? And I just haven't stewarded those people in my life well, and I just need to have the courage to ask them to come over or to invite them over or to go for coffee or to go thrift shopping together. So are there already people in your life that you could initiate a friendship with? You just haven't. There's that proverb of he who makes himself friendly finds a friend. I'm gonna butcher it, but I'll put the proverb here. This is the proverb. So think about the people in your life. Could you make yourself friendly with people who are already in your life? If you think about that and you can't think of anyone, then pray. Ask the Lord to bring sisters, mothers, daughters into your life, people that you can spend time with, people that you can add value to serve. Start asking God for those type of people and see how he brings them into your life. And sometimes if you're just feeling lonely, maybe just go out to a coffee shop and read a book or write a blog while you're in a coffee shop. Sometimes for me, I just like being around people. I love the coffee shop that we go to. I love the baristas there. I feel like I have community with them because I just think they are wonderful, and maybe that will help you. Just going out and being around people, going to a park, going shopping, walking around a thrift store. You don't have to buy something, but you can just walk around. Maybe you just need to be around people if you feel like, I was home all day yesterday and today I just want to be around people. So go places. And I know, again, that will look unique to your circumstances, how many kids you have, where you live, but in your context, is there something that you could do just to go and be around people? And with the friendships thing, if you don't have a church community, also pray and ask the Lord to direct your steps to a church community. If you are going to a church and you don't have community, again, either pray and ask God to show you community that you could have there, or pray about finding a different church that you can find fellowship with. So the next point, number 6, is maybe homemaking feels like a drudgery to you because you've lost the art of play. I kind of touched on this with the last topic, but you've lost the creative side of you. You feel like all you can do is just the boring, mundane things, and you miss that creative person within you. There is a book that I highly recommend. There's a caveat with me highly recommending it, but there's a book that Scott and I love. He introduced it to me when we first got married. It's called The Artist Way by Julia Cameron. I have read this book so many times. My caveat with it is she is not a Christian, but she, I believe, shares Christian principles. So if you read this book with a biblical worldview, then it could be a blessing for you. If you feel like you cannot read a book from someone who's not a Christian, then this book probably wouldn't be a blessing for you because you would have a hard time taking her concepts into your biblical worldview lifestyle. So that's my caveat. Before you buy the book, I don't want you to waste your money and then you be disappointed with me because this is not a Christian writing this book. But if you feel like you are a suppressed artist and you've lost your creativity and you don't mind reading a book who's not written by a Christian, but you still feel like you could learn from them, then I recommend The Artist Way. She talks on going on artist date. She talks on doing morning pages, which is writing every morning, 3 pages in your journal just to get it out. You hear that all the time, get it out on the page. She talks about that. She talks about people in your life that could be shadow artists or crazy makers, and being around them could suppress your own creativity. Or maybe you are the shadow artist and you are critical of other people who are doing what you want to be doing, and instead of thinking, well, what are the things I want to be doing? It's easier to critique other people who are being brave with their creativity than for you to be brave with what you feel God has put on your heart to do. And so maybe that is why homemaking feels like a drudgery, is because you can't think of hobbies that you would like to do. You can't think of things that would make being home fun. This is something that you could get with, besides if you read the book or not, you can still get your journal out and get with the Lord and say, teach me to be creative again, Lord. I feel like I've lost the artist in me. We are made in the image of God, and God is the ultimate artist. So of course we ourselves are artists. Again, that's unique to us. Being an artist doesn't mean one specific type of thing, but you have creativity inside of you that is unique to you. And if you feel that creativity has been suppressed, maybe that's why homemaking has been hard, because you've lost the art of creativity in your home. So again, I'm gonna give the example of what Julia Cameron says of going on artist dates. That could be going to a thrift shop and just thinking, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna find one thing that I want to bring into our home, or I wanna find one book that I want to read and glean from and study. But just stirring up that childlikeness in you again, if you feel you've lost that, then pray and ask God to help you get back to the playful person that He made you to be. Again, this is from Dr. Richard Cabot. He also says, work differs from play because play is spontaneous and delightful. while work is done soberly and against resistance. Nevertheless, we work because we want the fruit of work, not from pure dogged determination. To force ourselves along without any desire for a goal of attainment is drudgery. Everything I feel like comes back to point number one of having a vision. But I like that. Work differs from play because play is spontaneous and delightful. So there are going to be things that we do throughout our day that are actually going to feel like work. They're not going to feel like play because play is spontaneous and delightful while work is done soberly and against resistance. But we work because we want the fruit of our work. It goes back again to what I said with Elena from the Darling Academy of doing the work, the things that we need to do, so then we can do the play, the things that we enjoy. Maybe that's something that you can journal about. What would make homemaking fun for me? What could I be doing? What skill could I learn? What are the things that I am curious about? Stirring, that's part of childlikeness, is curiosity. What are the things that you can grow in curiosity about and learn about and study? Things that you enjoy. Start asking those questions, because maybe that's why you feel drudgery in homemaking, is because you've lost the playful side of you. But you can get that back. But my last point, which I'm sure I could go on and on, but my last point of maybe you feel drudgery with homemaking because you've lost the art of flexibility. Or maybe you've never had it. Maybe you've just been someone who's so set in their ways that being a homemaker has been hard, because being a homemaker means lots of flexibility and lifestyle and needs of the home, needs of your children, needs of your husband. There's lots of flexibility, and there can be lots of routine with it too. That's the Layla Lawler quote where she talks about having order and wonder, and how a home needs both order and wonder. So there definitely needs to be order within the home, but I also think there has to be flexibility in the home as well. And maybe you feel drudgery because you've been so set in stone on the way that things should be that you're really disappointed with how life has turned out, because you had a vision for how your life was going to be and it's not that way. And instead of being flexible and adjusting to how life has moved, you're instead disappointed. I did a whole video on flexibility when we were in South Africa. So if you want a full video on that, I will post it below. But the key line was, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. And maybe you feel broken because you have lost your flexibility and life has just broken you because you had an idea for how your life was going to go and it's not going that way. And so everything feels hard because you just constantly feel disappointed. Brother Yoon has a quote from his book, The Heavenly Man, and it often comes back to me. He said, as with most things in our lives, our plans went awfully wrong. The context of that quote was, our plans went awfully wrong, but God used those plans that we thought went awfully wrong to make all things work together for our good, for the bigger picture. So even though we have an idea for how our life should be, we have a vision of how our life should go, we have to learn the art of flexibility, because God is the potter and we are the clay, and He is the one who's shaping us to do the purposes that He wants us to do here on earth. So it's learning yieldedness to Him, of being open to things changing, to visions changing. Again, I'm going to quote Dr. Richard Cabot from 1914. He says, your goal, your promotion, your home, the degree for which you have worked usually does not turn out to be as you have pictured it. This variation you learn to expect, perhaps enjoy, because you have been trained in faith. For work is always justified by faith. Faith holding the substance, not the details, the substance of things unseen, keeps us at our task. I love that line. He's referring to Hebrews 11:1 of faith is the substance of things hoped for. But he says, faith holding the substance of things unseen keeps us at our tasks. We have faith that our efforts will someday reach their goal, and that this goal will be something like what we expected. But no literalism will serve us here. If we are willing to accept nothing but the very pattern of our first desires, we are forever disappointed in work and will soon grow slack in it. I think that's such a key line, that if we are willing to accept nothing but the very pattern of our first desires, which is the first vision. So if you're not willing to be flexible with how things unfold in your life, then you're going to be forever disappointed in work and will soon grow slack in it. And then he continues and says, in the more fortunate of us, the love of work includes a love of the unexpected and finds a pleasant spice of adventure in the difference between what we work for and what we actually get. This reminds me of what I said in another video of, she's now with the Lord, but my friend Jeannie, she had always said to me that instead of worrying about things or our life, instead reframing my mind to what an adventure, what an amazing adventure that God has us on. And having that mindset instead of a fear mindset or a worried mindset is so helpful, because it really does make it be like, make you feel like, God, I know that you are with me. I am totally dependent upon you, and I trust that you are directing our steps. I think there are some circumstances that God does allow us to walk through so we can learn complete dependence upon him in every area of our life. And then my last quote from Dr. Richard Cabot, he said, "We do our work happily because the future is alive in the present, not like a ghost, but like a leader." Again, this comes back to what everything always comes back to, a point number one of having a vision. When we have a vision to work towards, it means that we can work happily for it now, because that future vision is a leader. It gives us motivation. It gives us purpose to our work. If we don't have that, then it really can feel like work's a drudgery. It can feel like homemaking is a drudgery. What is the point? And so you do have to know your why. And if you don't understand the concepts or the value in being a home economist or a helpmeet, if those are something that you struggle with, I did two different videos. One is on building the home economy. It's basically about countercultural way of living for a homemaker, and I will link that below. And then I have a video on helping my husband is my career, and I will put that video below as well. And I pray that both of those videos will be a blessing for you. If you have felt drudgery, maybe one of these points have stood out, maybe none of them did. If none of them did, then I'm sorry you watched this whole thing and you still feel like homemaking is a drudgery. I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you can at least open your Bible and ask him to give you a word. I bless you, and I hope that you see your value in being a homemaker, because you are doing an eternal work. And one day, even if you don't feel like you're going to see the fruit of your labors here on earth, there will be a day when you will see the fruit of your labors in heaven. Praise the Lord. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.